SMQB's episode 159. We are going to be running the two-minute offense tonight. We got places to go, people to see. So let's jump right into it, fellas. Who's bringing someone to a bar this week to have a drink? Toby, what do you got? House?
I think I'm going to have a drink with Glenn Rivers, also known as Doc, and I'm going to ask him to get very comfortable with that seat at the bar. Because after inheriting a team that was 30-13, he's since gone 15-17, proving for once and for all he is the worst basketball coach in the history of basketball coaches. Doc, let's have a few extra drinks to just get you comfortable with the seat.
Move over for Dawn Staley.
Really?
Rooster, who are you bringing for a drink?
I would really like to meet Zach Edey's mom, Julia, who... Seems like a really interesting person.
She's a rooster.
Chinese national. How do you just raising a kid who's 7'3" and his bare feet? And she's apparently taught him how to toughen up a little bit. I think she's probably a very interesting person. I'd love to have a drink with her.
I would too.
Zelgi's mom has got it going on.
She's single as well. What's going on there?
His dad is around too.
Oh, okay. Not for long.
Not if Rooster's got anything to say about it.
I'm gonna take the guy behind me, Calipari, who's bolted apparently for Arkansas. Somewhat shockingly, although maybe not. Maybe I guess they were going to owe him $33 million if they fired him. So maybe this is a both parties win here, and he's off to Arkansas, which is fascinating to me.
Sweet.
And all right, what happens to the Arkansas door. Coach Musselman? Why is he? Why is that seat even available?
Yeah, I don't know. What didn't they fire him? No, he went to US. He went to USC.
He went to USC. Night. Okay. He went to USC.
But it opens up the controversy now. Will Hurley go from UConn to Kentucky?
No way. We can just end
UConn,
that discussion right now.
Better job than Kentucky. We won't have that conversation right now, though. Yeah. I'm bringing one Russ Cook, a.k.a. the hardest geezer. You guys know who this is?
No.
This is a British dude who just finished running the length of Africa. Yes.
What?
The length of Africa.
Wow, wow, wow.
He ran 10,190 miles. He started the challenge at South Africa's most southerly point on April 22nd, 2023, and just finished. Guys, that's the equivalent of 300 and 89 marathons.
Oh my God.
And in case you didn't hear what I said, he started on April 22nd last year. So less than a year ago, he took some days off for some minor injuries. And he also had to take a day off when his whole support team got robbed at gunpoint in Congo and lost all their equipment and everything.
The Congo part was
averaged running more than a marathon a day. That's so the hardest.
He's what the British some, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, you might want to offer some chafe cream in addition to some drinks. Yeah.
No kidding.
Now that Nace is a runner, we're going to hear a lot more about
than the motorsports.
That's his subtle way to let everyone know he's been running.
I know. Listen.
Ask you a
Actually,
question.
It just happened. So, I mean, I literally heard it today and I was like, I can't move my legs after running 10 miles yesterday. This son of a bitch ran 10,000 miles. I was like, are you kidding me?
Let's just give it to Nace now that Chariots of Fire is the best running movie. Let's just have them win the bracket right now.
We might have another race
only,
coming.
Might be the only running movie. All right, let's get into it. March Madness. We got the final tonight. UConn versus Purdue. Sort of... I don't know. Collision courts, I think a lot of people saw coming. You know, there were other. Houston was maybe the only other team that people, you know, thought might be there with them. But long time coming matchup. What are your thoughts?
I think this is exactly what the fans deserve, what the NCAA wanted. Purdue has been the biggest underachiever for years on end. They got the, probably two-time player of the year in Edie. Connecticut somehow has become, UConn's a big enough school, but when you think about it, like, they're not a two-sport school. They're not like an Alabama, Texas, a North Carolina, whatever. They're a one-sport school. They're basketball, and they are the powerhouse now. They've taken over the Big East for a long, long time. And, they're on the edge of repeat championship. This is a heavy, heavyweight battle tonight between these two number ones. It's funny, for all the people who do chalk on their brackets, there's probably a lot of brackets that have this matchup of Purdue versus UConn. And while I think a lot of focus is going to be on Klingon versus Edie, I do think it's going to be the guard play, the three-point shooting, defending the perimeter, and whether or not they're able to draw Edie outside. We've talked about this on the pod before. Are they going to be able to – is Edie going to be able to stay down low and defend that rim, or is he going to be pulled away? I just think Hurley has demonstrated he is a superior coach. I don't know if you guys heard Jay Wright talking about that after the Alabama game. The plays that he set up offensively and defensively, I think he's going to have a game plan here that, guys, I don't think this one's going to be that close. I certainly think UConn's going to cover. I just think UConn's a superior team. And if Edie doesn't have it going on, there's not that much balance. We've been talking about for weeks now what kind of balance UConn has. I don't think Purdue has it. Do you guys see it any differently?
No, I think you're exactly right. I said this on our last episode. I think Kling Kong's only job is to neutralize Edie. He needs to beat him down the court every possession, wear him out, move around a lot, make him guard him, get him away from being under the hoop. And if he can neutralize Edie, then it's Connecticut's next five guys can all score in double digits. And Purdue has maybe one, possibly two others who can. So the four through five guys on that team, the Connecticut plays six guys. So the next five guys after Klingon are just better than Purdue's next four or five guys after Edie, and they should win this game handily. But who knows? Who knows? Edie's gotten better every game and is surprising everybody.
You know, when I knew that this was going to be UConn tonight winning the second national championship and definitely covering the spread, is seeing what happened against Alabama. First of all, props to Alabama, because they actually played a hell of a game and gave UConn a run for their money. And by the way, they still lost by 14. And they shot like almost 50%, 45% to 50% from the three-point line, from the perimeter, and field goal percentage. And they still, I know it was close with 6 minutes, 7 minutes to go, but it's like UConn is so fast. They can pull away so quickly. And suddenly you've got a two-point, three-point game. And then it's like the Illinois game. Suddenly they were down by 30. I agree. They're just an all around better team. And I see this being a close game for the first half. And then
that's the one thing that you just pointed out that worries me for UConn is sometimes they're a little complacent early. And I feel like they know they can just push a button and turn it on. And I hope they don't have that mindset against Purdue. They need to play hard the whole game.
So I think UConn's going to win. I think they're going to cover. But my one thing that worries me is Edie, and that is, this guy has had a look on his face since this tournament started that he is on a mission. I mean, remember, they got bounced last year in the first round. It was embarrassing. He's a bad man, and he looks angry and focused. And House, you were texting it the other during the semifinal game about he was getting the ball and putting it on the floor and not scoring. If he corrects that in this game and just gets the ball and goes up and really takes over, that's the only possibility for Purdue, in my view, is that he just completely dominates underneath, and he's capable of doing it. Now, he's playing somebody, pick on someone your own size. This is probably the first time he's had to fight battle someone his own size So we're going to really see, right?
Yeah, right. What if he gets Clingan into foul trouble early?
Well, yeah. I couldn't agree more about this Edie thing. I mean, it was possession after possession after possession. I couldn't believe that he wasn't sat down to say, do not put the ball on the floor. But was double teaming him every single time. NC State was double teaming him. And as soon as he put the ball down, it was a steal or it was a turnover. And so if he corrects that and they get him the ball somewhere in the post where he can go up with that little kind of hook or that, you know, kind of jump turnaround, he is deadly. And he's just flat out taller. He doesn't have anything in front of him when he goes up for a shot. That was, I mean, DJ Burns was like a nothing in front of him. There was nothing. And then they put the other guy in front of him, Middleton or whatever the guy's name is. It was a nothing. But the thing about UConn is, you guys know that they have the biggest player of the year is somebody that's barely been talked about in the best conference all year. Tristan Newton has barely done anything yet. And they've got Tristan Newton. They've got Cam Spencer. They've got the Caravan guy. Like, they are loaded. If to Rooster's point, if Clingan just focuses his game defensively, there's plenty of offense besides Clingan for UConn to go to. I don't be surprised if Tristan Newton puts together a game that's very memorable tonight.
Yeah. So the only other thing to mention, and we can't have a big discussion about it because we're on a timetable tonight, but is there a distraction from the news reports today of Hurley going to Kentucky? Is there any sort of distraction? I mean, these are 21-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids for that matter. Is there a distraction element that gets in the way?
No way. I don't think so. I mean, Calipari hasn't been to a Final Four in 9 years. Danny Hurley's on the cusp of winning a second national championship. He's not going to let that get to his team. He'll probably tell them something like, don't you worry. There's no
way get to
hell
him?
I'm going to Kentucky.
Well, why would he want to go these guys...
Seriously, why would he want to go to Kentucky?
Milk, well, say, give your point. I want to hear Milk on this.
Well, two things. First of all, aren't a lot of these UConn... I mean, Klingon's going after this year, right?
Yeah, so I think so.
What does he care if Hurley? I mean, that I don't think this will affect. I agree, he'll have that speech and get them fired up. But I think if Kentucky goes hard for Hurley, I'm 100% sure he will leave UConn. I'm sorry, wow. Kentucky and UConn. I understand they're successful lately. I understand that they have two national championships potentially in a row, but it's like night and day. In terms of college basketball in the history, it is. And if they throw money at him, and they will throw money at him, I'm sorry, Kentucky, he could go to, if he's as good as I think he is, he could go to Kentucky and, I mean, do something even more special than what he's doing right now. I don't know, but I think he's,
I don't understand this idea that Kentucky, I mean, history's history, crazy. Man.
Are you kidding?
It's ancient history.
Hold on. You're telling me that UConn and Kentucky are equivalent in college basketball?
Right now?
Yeah. UConn's better.
Right now? UConn's better.
Toby, back me up here, please.
Listen, here's the thing. From a coaching standpoint, you're recruiting a totally different kind of player. If Danny Hurley wants the 3 to 4 year development of a team, fine. If Danny Hurley wants to bring to the greatest program of all time, where basketball was essentially invented, and deal with one and dones and take on that challenge of one and dones to a national championship, he's accomplished everything that he can in UConn. I do think, here's Milk's point. While I think UConn is definitely a better program than Kentucky right now, I think winning a championship at Kentucky is miles above winning a championship at UConn. That's the difference.
I don't know. And by the way, this one and done thing is yesterday's news too. I mean, it's not going to be a thing anymore with Nil.
But then I am. It's true. You're right.
I think, but he, I can see Hurley liking one and doneers.
He's not like that kind of guy. He's just not. He's a gym rat. He's the son of a gym rat. He's the brother of a gym rat. He's not at all enticed by all this slickness that you see behind you with Calipari.
Yeah, but I think if he's like, if I can get the best players all the time to come.
And Milt, let me say this too. This idea that Kentucky, the history of Kentucky, you know who doesn't give a shit about that? The kids coming to play college basketball now. This whole generation, right or wrong,
they have the best recruiting class in the country.
They have no, because of Calipari, they have no appreciation for history. The kids these days have no appreciation for history and legacy. They just don't. And so they're going to be more of what have you done for me lately? And they see UConn's got three national championships since Kentucky's got one. I just don't think it matters anymore to the kids. I don't. Calipari had the one and done thing. Like, I'm going to get you to the NBA, come here. And that's why he recruited well. That's not necessary anymore. I think the history is great. I don't think it makes a big difference. Yep. We got to get moving on. All right, Rooster. There was a national champion crowned yesterday, and we cannot be the only sports entity in the universe that skips over women's college basketball because it is the hottest thing going right now.
It sure is. ABC had the game, and it was the most watched basketball game, period. Men's, women's, college, pros since 2019. And it was the third game in a row in this women's bracket that broke women's viewership records. Like the UConn Iowa game broke records, and then the finals broke records. I mean, it's hot. It's hot as can be. And people are like, Caitlin Clark, when she's gone, that's all going to simmer down. I'm telling you right now, I've been saying this for months, Juju Watson is hotter and has way more potential than Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
She is going to dazzle people. She's already in a fucking TV commercial with Joel Embiid. If you haven't seen it,
I saw that.
She come next year, she's going to be the face of women's basketball and just a full-time media superstar.
I mean, 18.7 million viewers with a peak of 24 million.
Unbelievable.
That is unheard of. Unheard of. I mean, it's bananas.
And Dawn Staley's only 53 years old, and it's her third title. Second in 3 years.
She's going to Kentucky.
She might go to Kentucky. She'd do a better job than Calipari did in the last few years. Well, she should definitely go to the Bucks, though, because anyone will do a better job than Doc.
I sent you guys by text. I think you would be hard-pressed to find another coach. Let's just put it this way. Dawn Staley is a top five coach across all sports in the world right now. In the world. She is that dominant. They've lost three games over the last 3 years. Three games.
Yeah, they went 38-0 this year.
It's a shame.
Women's basketball has a fair amount of parity. I mean, Notre Dame was good this year. Stanford's always good. You know, UConn, Iowa, NC State. There's some good women's basketball teams.
And I love Caitlin Clark, but unfortunately, she has taken a little bit away from this South Carolina team that is like exceptionally good, right? Like, I did not realize until
that's a tough argument to make. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that she got all the attention and accolades this year, but even Dawn Staley said it after the game yesterday. Caitlin Clark elevated women's basketball single-handedly this year and last year. And the attention, the fact that South Carolina had 18.7 million viewers yesterday is because of Caitlin Clark. You're right. I get your point. I mean, Iowa had no chance in that game. They weren't big enough. They were outmatched, and South Carolina was by far the better team. But Caitlin Clark, I mean, for whatever reason, she captured the nation's attention. I mean, that's cliche, but it's true. And I think South Carolina got the attention they got because of her.
Yeah, when they went to commercial, both before and after they went to the commercial, as they do that kind of little spot as they're rolling to commercial, every time for Iowa, it was Caitlin Clark. Every time for South Carolina, it was their coach, Dawn Staley.
Yeah,
I mean, she's the personality of that team. Sometimes Cardozo, but most of the time it's
6'7", for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, she's tough.
All right, guys. I think we covered all our predictions for everything. Congrats to South Carolina. They're part of a dynasty now. By the way, I think there's like 5 programs and 10 teams total that have ever gone undefeated in women's basketball. It's like Texas, South Carolina, Tennessee. I'm forgetting maybe Baylor. UConn.
Maybe Stanford.
And UConn maybe. Baylor, six times. Yeah. UConn six times.
Yeah. So,
yeah, but UConn's not a basketball school.
Well, they are a
band. Yeah,
that's you go to Kentucky instead.
So, all right. Do we have anything else on college hoops we got to talk about?
Oh,
nothing else. College hoops. Okay. So
can't wait for tonight.
Yeah, I know, right? And let's see, where does that take us then?
Behind you is a guy that I think is Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the guy who ran through Africa. I can't figure out which.
Well, you know, there's actually a striking similarity, quite honestly. Yeah.
I guess here's my question. We lost Shane Bieber. We lost Yuri Perez. We lost Garrett Cole. We lost Spencer Strider. And everybody's blaming the pitch clock. So you are the resident baseball expert. Steven Strasburg threw out his arm before a pitch clock. Other pitchers threw out their arms before a pitch clock. Is the pitch clock to blame for what's going on right now, or why are so many pitchers getting injured?
God, I have no idea about that. I mean, I was sort of surprised to read those suggestions. I suppose there's an argument that if you're having to rush, that you're not giving your arm the needed rest, but I don't know that I've ever seen a study that suggests that taking 30 seconds between pitches versus 15 seconds allows your arm to rest better. I don't know. I mean, I'll be very curious to see some science on that. I do think arguments about how many pitchers you can carry on a roster, you know, that may be true. Although it's the starters largely who are, I mean, maybe the reality is these guys, we have to go to 5 or 6 man rotations at this point. I don't know. I mean, there is an epidemic. On the other hand, is it just coincidence this year what's happened?
Justin Verlander addressed this today, and his theory is this. There are more starting pitchers who are throwing smoke. You could throw harder than before. There are more starting pitchers throwing 100 miles an hour. They're throwing as hard as they can on every pitch, including their breaking pitches. They're throwing really hard, and they need a ton of spin on those pitches. And when you took the spider glue or whatever the hell it's called out of the equation, now these guys are gripping the ball harder to throw those high spin velocity pitches. It's just more wear and tear on the arm. It's harder to throw really hard breaking balls. We used to have pitchers out there who had off speed pitches and change ups and changed locations. Now they're just throwing smoke. We got this guy, Ronel Blanco, on the Astros. He's about he almost had 2 no hitters in first week of baseball.
And the one thing I'm curious about too is, you know, there's been a big emphasis on spin rate as technology has allowed devices to track spin rate. And is that something that's leading guys to the way they throw pitches so that they can, you know, increase that spin rate? Is that really the culprit on it? Is the data that's driving how you train and how you throw a pitch?
I thought they can't cheat anymore.
It's a
fact. They can't use the spider shit.
I saw a video of Tyler Glass now. It was not a new video, but it was a little bit older video, but it's resurfacing now because of all these injuries. And he talked about using like a little traditional rosin. He said, I got to put something on the ball because it's just so, so dry and it will slip. And once they took that away, once they really firmed up the inability to use a lot of stuff on the baseball, he said the way you got to grip the ball is so much harder. And once you grip the ball harder, you're starting to use muscles in your forearm and around your elbow. He's like, I could barely move my arm after I had to just change the grip on the ball, because before I didn't have to grip the ball that hard because the sticky stuff allowed me to do that.
we're going to have to watch this, but to wrap it up and with a line from the greatest baseball movie of all time, as we determined that democratically, you know,
natural.
It's not the natural. It's an egg. You're supposed to hold it like an egg. And now they can't hold it like an egg anymore. They're gripping it tighter. And you know, when they say, yeah, I held it like an egg. Yeah. And he scrambled that son of a bitch, didn't he? That was the line for Bull Durham. So, all right. Don't call it a comeback. Toby, you've got a couple slaps, right?
I got two different slaps for the NCAA. My first slap is, what's going on in college basketball in the men's game this year is very special to have a 1-on-1. But I've been seeing some videos and some pictures from people that are attending these games. And I'm sorry that we don't have Pope on here, because I know that he's gone to some Final Four games. I just wish they wouldn't have basketball Final Four in these super stadiums. I think, you know, it's just for the fans that are shelling out so much money. You can barely see the game. These stadiums are not meant for basketball. So it's a little bit of a backhand slap on that. And the slap going the other way is the rumor that came out this week is that NCAA sports are about to switch to a full super conference thing of just 80 teams that matter. We're about to leave about 230 to 240 teams as totally irrelevant, and only 80 will matter. So say goodbye to NACE's Boston College, say goodbye to Tulane, say goodbye to Villanova, say goodbye to Georgetown. They're not going to matter, because there's just going to be a super conference. And I'm ready. The hand is prepared, and there's already a couple fingers across the face. This slap is going to turn into a major punch.
Yeah. Money, money, money. Destroy the root of all evil. All right. Anybody have a lasso? Yeah, I didn't think so this week. All right, that's okay. We got to keep things moving. How about buzzer beaters? I got to tell you, I'm rooting for the B at this point. If you watch this on our YouTube channel, you'll see House vigorously defending himself from some flying creature that I can only get.
Are you outside? Where are you?
I just put 100 on FanDuel on B getting to him at some point.
What's the line on the B?
I really didn't want to use my EpiPen during this show, so I hope he doesn't get me.
Okay. All right.
I've got a buzzer beater.
I think the first 2 weeks of the baseball season are over, and I'm already excited about young players showing that they're future stars. You know, the other Japanese pitcher that nobody heard about who came over, Shoto Imanga, is on the Cubs. He's got a 0 ERA right now after two games.
Wow.
And Anthony Volpe, who won a gold glove for the Yankees last year at shortstop, is batting .425 in, you know, after 2 weeks. I know it's early, but his offense looks like it's caught up with his defense. And they're just two of many. We talked about the Orioles last time.
Milk? Got a buzzer?
Go to House.
House?
I really am going to try to avoid getting beat by this buzz, so I'm just going to...
You've got a literal buzzer.
I'm back to you guys.
All right, I got one. Mine is the retirement of Steven Strasburg. Interesting career, interesting guy. You know, one thing, I heard somebody make the point that he was probably the first... and one of the very early, putting aside the NBA guys who went from high school to the pros, he was one of the first guys in college, certainly in baseball, who people were like, couldn't wait to see his debut. Now, you know, there's so much more media and news availability on things. But remember, when he came out, people expected him to just be completely dominant as a pitcher. And he came out, his 2010 debut in Major League Baseball, a game that I was at, was probably one of the most electric sporting events I've ever seen. He had something like 10 strikeouts in 7 innings. The stadium was so juiced up because they'd been waiting for this guy. He really did put the Nationals franchise on the map as somebody that was worth watching. He battled injuries. When he was healthy, he was pretty dominant. At one point, he had something 28 starts per season from 12 to 19, he averaged 28 starts per season, and the team averaged 92.5 wins and went to the playoffs five times. His postseason numbers, though, listen to these numbers are ridiculous for Strasburg. A 1.46 ERA in 55 and a third innings, six appearances during the team's World Series run in 19. He was 6-0 or 5-0. He was 5-0 because he actually pitched in relief in one game. Just a dominant pitcher when he was on. Totally dominant in the postseason. Had a game where he was really sick. And there was talk about him not coming out and not pitching. And he did pitch against the Cubs one year. He won it. MVP of the World Series. Obviously, the injuries were too much, including some kind of, you know, thoracic outlet syndrome. I mean, we're not talking, he did have Tommy John surgery, but the thoracic outlet syndrome where they literally have to remove two ribs and a muscle, it was just too much for him. And eventually he called it quits. So a mixed bag on the career, but a legendary Washington National, great guy, Scott Boras client who re-signed while he was under contract because he told Boras, I want to be here. My family likes it here. We're not going to wait. Get the deal done. Kudos. We're not allowed to say, congrats.
It's a lasso for the it's a lasso for the playing career and a punch for the wallet.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's one of the worst contracts in sports history at the end of the day, and certainly not his fault on that. He wanted to pitch. Good thing. Happy to see that the Nats and him got this all worked out and got a deal done because in 10 days or so, they're having the 5-year anniversary celebration. And the expectation is they wanted it done so he could come back and be part of it.
So I'm going to put in Pope's buzzer beater because he's currently scaling a mountain in Peru. First of all, he says take UConn and the over. Say goodbye to Dan Hurley. He's going to Kentucky. Make sure you watch our TikTok channel where you see Pope's whole rundown. And if Pope were here, I know his buzzer beater would be a prep for the Masters. The Masters starts this weekend.
That's right.
Tiger apparently shot a 31 on the front nine in a practice round. Wouldn't that be fun? So, but Scottie Scheffler is the prohibitive favorite. It's not even close. So let's see if Scottie gets another green jacket.
And best of luck to Rory. I wish him the best.
I think Pope's about to give that British geezer a run for his money.
As long as a live golfer doesn't win the Masters, it's fine. Go Danny McCarthy. Bring it up. All right, guys.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.